Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the kingdom of God. And we were having a little devotional in the last show. And it's not like the devotionals you probably get it from a lot of preachers who say, oh, you're just going to love today's devotional. We're going to be talking about Hebrews. We're going to be talking about love of Jesus Christ for us all. Only one problem with that, besides the fact that sometimes these sing-songy preachers just kind of, you know, they're like fingernails on a chalkboard to me, but I can take them. It doesn't really upset me or anything, but I want to, you know, come out there shooting with guns a-blazing and try to get into where his life really is at. And sometimes you'd be surprised. And of course, we all should be surprised because we have some of these guys who are out there preaching about their love for Jesus. And then we find out they're hanging out with prostitutes or molesting boys or, you know, like actually in a nearby town, fairly nearby. We don't have any real nearby towns. There was a preacher who was actually molesting retarded children. Who couldn't, I mean, they were actually like bedridden, retarded children. Couldn't even speak. And he was molesting them. And he was a preacher. And people had been paying him for years. They never saw the evil in his spirit. We actually have somebody on the network now who doesn't believe that there are evil spirits or spiritual realm occupied by evil spirits. He doesn't believe that. He doesn't think that's so. Well, I can see that he's fairly blind. Now, it doesn't mean he couldn't see someday, but right now, he doesn't see in the spiritual realm. You see, his objection to the world is a mental objection. He doesn't like being told what to do. He doesn't like to know that the world is his master and that he's surety for debt and that he's gone into bondage. He doesn't like to admit that, and he rails against that. And he justifies that railing by saying he believes in God, but he doesn't see spiritual things. To me, that's amazing. You see, because he hasn't made the spiritual choice yet. He's not walking in the Spirit yet. Now, there may be a part of him that will, that, and God will extend his grace. God's just amazing. He can see deep into the heart. But there's a part of him that does not see spiritual things. That's what interests me. That's where I want to go. That's the dark places. In there, we will find what he is not yet willing to repent of. And we can bring his attention to it. And it's kind of like a puppy who's done a doodle in the corner. And you can smell it, but you don't know where it is. So you can't stick his nose in it and give him a swat with a newspaper. You want to find where that's at so you can take him over there and say, look what you did, bad puppy, and toss him outside. Then he will be housebroken. He will be able to come into the house because he will realize we don't do that here. Now, I've reduced this problem down to a puppy, and I don't mean to think of the person as a puppy, but the reality is you have to bring their attention to their iniquity so that they can see it and learn not to be iniquitous in that way. And when I see people blind to obvious truths of the spiritual realm, I know that what is keeping them from seeing that? You see, all our blindness is the result of denial. If you deny the truth about yourself, see, in your Father's house, in this temple of the Holy Spirit you call your body, we have this brain. And I just put up a webpage on the mind at ourpreparingyou.com. And I have a picture there, and it shows a famous drawing of a phrenology drawing of the mind, and showing, it doesn't show the brain, it shows a person with all these little sections in their brain that are dedicated to these different things and processes in the brain. And it's just amazing how complex this 3-pound organ is. But that's still the dendritic tree, the the tree of knowledge. That's what's going on in your brain. It's the spiritual thing. But the fact is when you don't want to see the truth about yourself, remember, choice is the retraction of the self of God to give you the right to choose. God granted you the right to choose. Now, if you choose not to listen to God, you get to do that. You can choose not to listen to God. You can choose to reject God. But if you actually want to love the real God, not the one you created in your mind, or, you know, some pastor created in your mind, or some religionist created in your mind, but the real God, not your mental image that you bow down and worship, but the real God, the real spiritual God. Spirit is where it's at. It's not the physical thing. It's the spiritual thing. Physical is following the spiritual thing, because it's the spirit that creates and gives life to the physical reality. So anyway, if you're going to worship the real God, not your imaginary one, you have to retract yourself. And in between that, you'll get an arc. And that arc is the light of God. That's where you're going to see it. That's the candle of revelation in you. Now, I'm using a little bit of, you know, metaphor here to describe the process, but that retraction of yourself creates a void, and nature hates a void between you and God. And now you can have a prayer where you let God take over. Not my will, but thy will be done. And now God will arc into you the spirit of life, the tree of life, and he will guide you, and you will see. Now, the problem is, you can't retract self if you don't see self. In other words, you have to see the truth about yourself. These are the mysteries of the kingdom of God, if you can follow this. You know, I have to use some metaphors in talking about spiritual things. But this is why to give up, to sacrifice, is the same word in the Hebrew as to draw near. Because when you retract yourself, you draw near to the Spirit of God, and God's Spirit can enter into you. And of course, now we're not talking about retracting yourself from God. We're talking about retracting yourself from ruling over your neighbor, exercising authority over your neighbor, either directly or indirectly through men who call themselves benefactors. In other words, you have to retract yourself enough. You have to sacrifice yourself in charity to bless your neighbor. Now, you can do this with actually financially, you know, supporting ministers who actually are trying to become the social welfare of the people through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. That's one of the ways. But there's also the egotistical way of retracting self. You know, and you can't do it till you see yourself. You have to see the truth about yourself. Because see, in those many mansions, in all those rooms of your brain, you will deny the truth about your own sin, your iniquity. You see, that's why it says to go get baptized and confess your iniquity. You have to see the error of your personal way, where you put self before righteousness. You know, you didn't take care of your family, you didn't take care of your children, you didn't forgive your neighbor, you resented your neighbor, you hated your neighbor, you hated your brother, you robbed somebody, you murdered somebody, you injured somebody, you injured somebody with gossip. You see, all these things are iniquities. You have to see those. You know, you abandon your family. You have to see that. That's an iniquity. You dishonored your father and your mother. You didn't take care of them when they were elderly. You said, oh, that's the job of the benefactors who exercise authority. And you did no more ought for your father and your mother. Or you did very little. You depended upon men who exercise authority to take from your neighbor, to provide your parents with social welfare, because you didn't want to take care of your father and mother, because it was inconvenient. You gave. You. That's why I pay into Social Security. They're supposed to do it. I don't have to do it. You see, That's the Corbin of the Pharisees. That's the mentality of the Pharisees. You have to see the error of that. I mean, there's a lot of little things you have to see the error of. And when you start to see these things, see, what you do in your mind is you cover them up. You know, you paint a fresh coat of religion over your iniquities. I love Jesus so much. He is so important to me. You know, you get all emotional and choked up, you know. You like to mix a lot of emotion in that paint that you're going to paint over your problems with. And that's what you do. I see ministers do it. And they think they're ministers of God. And they're just painting over their problems. And then you see them blow up, you know, and screaming, cussing and swearing at their wives. Or they're molesting children like we talked about. Or they're out hanging out with prostitutes. You know, evil is pulling on them because they don't see the truth about their iniquities. They're not into that. They're into mental religion. You know, the cogito ergo sum. I think I am saved, therefore I am saved. No, it doesn't work that way. You know, it just doesn't work that way. You have to see the truth about yourself. And you stop painting emotion over your iniquity. Stop painting ideologies over your iniquity. This is why James says, you know, I actually read somebody recently, his first name is Anthony, for those of you who have been watching the conversation on the California group. And he talks about lonely James, because James says works, you know, faith without works is dead. You see, because it's not faith in the real God, the spiritual God of heaven, of the Creator. It's faith in the image of God that you've created in your mind. You don't have to carve it in wood and stone. You just carve it in your mind. And you do that with doctrine. So you paint your doctrines. I'm okay. I'm saved. Yeah, I can sin, but I can do works of iniquity, but I'm okay because I believe in this Jesus that will save me. And despite of what I do, even though he says that you know them by their works, and he says that, you know, it's not those who say, but those who do. I'm just going to ignore all that and say, I believe in Jesus, so therefore I'm saved. And that makes me feel good, and I don't have to look at my problems. I don't have to look why I am doing what I'm doing. You see, because I'm looking at Jesus with my brain, not with my spirit. And so I'm going to think things like there is no evil out there. There's endless images that you can create. Endless. That's why there's 40,000 denominations. Because you've created all of these in your brain. There's only one church established by Christ. There's only one real Christ. There's a lot of fake Christs out there. And they're all created in your brain. And they love to use emotion. They love to use things like guilt and fear and all this stuff. It's this simple. Do you love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Husbands, do you love your wives as Christ loved the church? Are you laying down your life for your wife? Are you laying down your life for your children? Are you strengthening the poor and the poor in your own families? Are you doing that? Because that's where your devotional is. Remember, we were talking about devotion and devotionals. And we showed the definition of the word. Love, loyalty, enthusiasm for a person, activity, or cause. Well, the cause of Christ is Christ. Christ is the anointed. Do you have love and loyalty to him? Are you taking oaths? Are you praying to men who call themselves benefactors who exercise authority? Well, then you're not loyal to Christ, because he said it was not to be that way with you, and it is that way with you. So therefore, you're not loyal to Christ. So therefore, all this gibberish you talk about at your devotionals in your church is exactly that. Gibberish. It's painting over your problems, making you feel good about your iniquities. It's not loving Jesus. It's loving the doctrines of men who have created a false Jesus in front of you, which is idolatry. So I gave you a sentence. Eleanor's devotion to her husband. Where is the church's devotion to Christ? Why is not the church like the first century church that was the entire social welfare for all Christians, rightly dividing the bread that was freely given from house to house to take care of the daily ministration of the people who could have gone to Caesar but did not go to Caesar? They went to church. That's what the first century church was doing. And they were executed because later on, when they made it mandatory that you sign up for the social welfare of Rome, they wouldn't do it. Even being burned at the stake because they wouldn't do it. That was faith. That was devotion. You've already signed up. And God said that you would have this strong delusion, which is your modern religion. And this is the good news, if you can hear it. Because now you know you're going the wrong way, which is where we started in the last show. They're giving you directions in the wrong direction. And I'm telling you, whoa, man, break this thing. Slow down. Let's turn around. Go back to the ways of Christ. The way that will set you free. The way of love for one another. The way for charity for one another. The way where the bonds of Christ are created between men and women who gather together in free assemblies, taking care of the needy of their society through faith, hope, and charity. That's pure religion. It's not about joining His holy church. It's about following the way. And if you follow the way, why not join? Why not join the network? Why not join congregations? You see, this is self-governing. It's already built in. If you actually understand the system of Christ, the ideology of Christ, the ideology is a system of thinking. Now, they've given you a ideology that is not of Christ. And I'm telling you where they missed, where they made the wrong turn. And I'm saying, let's go back. I don't care if I don't get ice cream from Dairy Queen. I don't care if you don't want to support this ministry. I don't care if you don't want to help me light a candle on every lampstand that shows the ways of Christ. Because I know my devotion is to Christ. Now, His devotion was that you might be saved. And so I care that you might be saved, and that's why I tell you the truth. So another sentence I gave you, her devotion to her husband. Where is the church's devotion to the ways of Christ? The church used to be the social welfare of the people. And this is... the idea of the government being the social welfare of the people is satanic. It is the spirit of Satan, and it is pervasive today. I see guys don't want to be in the system, but they don't want to become the social welfare of Christ. You see, because they don't really love Jesus enough to see that. They hate the world enough not to be a part of it, and they use a false ideology to justify that hate. And it will poison what they do. They need to repent. That's where they have need of repentance. So, synonyms, devoutness, piety. Piety, it has to do with humility. It used to have to do with honoring your father. That's when the word was originally used, you know, a couple hundred years ago. Religiousness. Religion had to do with fulfilling your duty to God and your fellow man. What's your duty to God? Be righteous in all that you do. Don't covet. Don't murder. Don't steal. Spirituality. This has to be a spiritual choice. Not a mental choice. The mind will follow the spirit. And you can see evidence that spiritually, they haven't made the choice because their mind is still locked up in the ways of the world. That's why I say it's not about taking the man out of Egypt. It's about taking Egypt out of the man. How do you know Egypt is out of the man? Well, there's lots of things. One thing is he wants to set his neighbor free as much as he wants to be free. In other words, he loves his neighbor as much as he loves himself. He loves his neighbor's freedom, his neighbor's right to choose, his neighbor's children. He doesn't want to put them in debt. So therefore, so where are you going to see these tracks, these kingdom tracks? You're going to see he's going to be interested in homeschooling. He's going to be interested in home health. He's going to be interested in injustices that happen in his community. He's going to care about his community as much as he cares about his own family. And he's going to care about righteousness of God more than his family. And he's going to put himself at risk for righteousness' sake. Now, I'm talking about all these things in physical terms where you can look at it in physical terms. And that's what we do in the book Covenants of the Gods. We show you the physical connection of that bondage. But that bondage originates in the spirit. Because God gave you choice and you did not choose his ways. You chose the ways of knowledge, the tree of knowledge. You're going to decide for yourself what was good and evil. And that's why you have 40,000 denominations. There's only one denomination of Christ. Now, his people talk about us as his holy church because we got the website. But his holy church is his holy church. It's not my holy church. We use that phrase because that's what we strive to become. And we want you to strive to become that because Christ said to strive, to seek. But we can't do it without you. You have to gather together. We also can't do it without Christ, so you have to gather together in the Spirit of Christ, who came to set you free. I'm not trying to bind you up. Our congregations are free assemblies. They're not corporations. They're not unincorporated associations. They're just free assemblies. You have the right to freely gather. Now, they're going to take that right away from you, and when they do, you better have the Spirit of God on your side. Because people ask me when they started reading some of the books that we wrote decades ago, they said, does this work? I'm thinking, like, what are they talking about? I'm showing you what doesn't work. What works is Christ. They were having trouble seeing this, still are. That's okay. God will persevere with you, but not forever. So you have to actually physically start growing together and then binding yourself together with love only. Not contracts, love only. Then something happens in the quantum spiritual realm where you began to see things you did not see before. It's happening with me. I'm still seeing new things all the time. Amazing flows of energy in the spiritual realm that some people don't think exists. So, do you have a devotional towards Christ? Or is it just emotional? Is your devotional emotional? Or is your devotional showing real devotion? And somebody quoted on one of the websites, Augustine, evil has no positive nature, but the loss of good has received the name evil. So if an entity has a positive nature, an existence, like you have an existence in the realm in which you live, which is this physical realm, and you deny the truth about yourself first and then about other things in order to cover, you know, that. Somebody was talking about, we saw a show where the head of the CIA or whatever he was said to somebody else, we never had this conversation. And the guy says, what conversation? And they parted ways. We thought, you know, being in the CIA is mostly trying to remember what conversations I didn't have. Because you got to keep them straight. is that one of the conversations I didn't have? One of the conversations I can tell you about. But, you know, that's what Mark Twain referred to, is that a guy who always tells the truth doesn't have nearly as much to remember. He just has to remember the truth. He doesn't have to remember all the lies. And so evil is simply the absence of the truth. And see, when you deny the truth about yourself, you create a void inside you. And it's usually along certain lines. You know, there's several, we call the those things that you deny vices, and the things that you incorporate into yourself or allow to be incorporated in yourself, we call them virtues. And they're positive. You know, humility is actually a positive virtue. We think of humility as not having pride. Pride is not having humility. It's just the reverse. It's because most of us are very proud. So, yeah, evil has, and I hate to quote Augustine because he had a lot of truths. I mean, everybody will tell some truth, but then he also steered you wrong somewhere. And that's not a good thing. And so, anyway, all which is corrupted is deprived of good, he says. Which I can't argue with. That's pretty much because they've retracted themselves from God. They've denied something. That's what Satan is all about. That's an adversary of the truth, because the truth is light. Anyway, we'll be back to Keys of Kingdom, and we'll talk more about this devotional. And we'll get into what we really wanted to talk about and haven't got to yet. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. Let's see if we can get down to what I really wanted to talk about today, which is actually an article written by Bill Mayer, I guess they, who is a comedian. And we're going to rake Bill Mayer over the coals of heaven. Now, you probably didn't even know there were coals in heaven, hot coals in heaven. Yeah, because there is. There's hot coals in heaven. And what that means, what did Christ talk about? Loving your enemy. And they talk about this in both Testaments. Loving your enemy, giving drink to your enemy. And it would be as hot coals upon his head. And what's that all about? That's about loving somebody enough to tell them the truth. And of course, now if you've been listening to the last couple of shows, you realize that's what we do. And we're going to make you uncomfortable with the truth. And we're not about rebellion. We're about conforming to Christ. Now, that will appear as rebellion. We actually have an opportunity of getting, it might come up, might happen, depends on God. And we're putting ourselves at great risk because, you know, they killed the last people who preached the gospel of Christ. They killed them by the thousands. You know, so when you want to get on a forum where you preach the gospel of the kingdom in a big way, you're putting yourself at risk. What you're doing, you're going down to the shores of the Red Sea. And you're making yourself vulnerable. You have the sea at your back. And that's all the people of the world. And you have the Pharaoh, you know, all the socialists of the world, wanting to come down and destroy you. You know, that's all the socialists, all the communists, all the democratic socialists, all the people who want to feel like they're saved while they covet their neighbor's goods. Why, as a matter of policy, they sin against the ways of Christ. They want to believe that they're saved anyway, or that they're justified. And while they curse their children with debt, why, they make themselves and their neighbors merchandise and surety for debt. They want to believe that they're saved and that they're justified in what they do. Those people will want to destroy you. They will want to kill you. They will want to, you know, cast you into prison. They will want to beat you. And they will want to, and they will call your good evil. You know that. So if you're going to stick your head up, you put yourself in jeopardy in this world today. So you want to help me do that? Put myself in jeopardy. Well, then join the network. Start gathering together. Form congregations of record. Start tithing. Start supporting not just my ministry, but all the other ministers who are doing this and seeking to actually do what the first century church did, which was to become the Corban of Christ and tending to the daily ministration. We've been working out the kinks. We've been figuring out how this goes. We've been making progress. Don't just think you're going to join an email group. You have to gather together in free assemblies. And you have to take the time to try to find the best minister you can. He's not going to be, when I use that word minister, don't think of the ministers you see in your normal ear-tickling churches. Don't think of those ministers who make you think that you love Jesus and that, oh, come to our devotional. We're really, oh, it's so wonderful. We just so enlightened with the Holy Spirit, enlivened with it, you know. Or maybe they do a lot of rocking and singing or whatever it is. It's all about feel good. You're just painting feelings. No, we're the ones that are going to go into the dark recesses of your own heart and clean the demons out so that you can be filled with the real light of Christ, which isn't full of all this emotion. As a matter of fact, when you face real demons, whether they be in, you know, walking around in living physical creatures or spiritual demons, you don't want this experience to be full of emotion, because that's his tool. You want it to be, you know, I could tell you stories that make your hair curl. You want to be absolutely centered in Christ. I mean, you could have them slap you in the face, and it doesn't even bother you. It doesn't even, I mean, like, it make your head turn, but it doesn't frighten you, doesn't upset you, there's no emotional deal with it at all. It's just like, oh, want to play that game. Now, I'm talking maybe in the physical realm, maybe in the spiritual realm. Slap you in the face to turn your head. You think evil can do that? You bet. You'd be surprised what power it has. But it's surprised at what power it does not have. You see, because the more you retract yourself and you create that space between you and God where you can actually pray, this is your prayer house. God retracted himself so that you could have free choice. You retract yourself from exercising authority one over the other, of coveting your neighbor's goods, of judging your neighbor. And one of the ways to do that is to forgive your neighbor. And you create a space between you and God. And in that space, something really mysterious happens. That becomes your prayer house. Now, that's a yearning place where you yearn for the presence of God. You yearn for God to draw you near. You don't draw God near you. If you're drawing God, what you're doing is actually, you're creating God in your mind. That's idolatry. But if you withdraw yourself by sacrifice, by charity, by grace extended to your brothers and your sisters and your neighbors and your enemies, you create a prayer house between you and God. And that's where the power comes from. And you can say to God and his holy angels, I relinquish myself and give you jurisdiction. And they will drive the demons away. And they will not bother you. And then you can do this for others. You can extend the coverture of God's grace out to others so that they can see the truth, that they can be healed. You know, the individual who thinks that there are no demons, conscious demons who inhabit spiritual realms. And somebody just asked him, I just saw it at the break, just asked him on one of the groups, you know, so who was the deal with Job? You know, and I actually know where he's getting some of this information, so I know what answer he's going to come back with. But why did the pigs go over the cliff? You know, he thinks that Christ was just curing mental illness. It was just mental illness that these people thought that they were possessed and all this stuff. He thinks that's just mental illness. And there is a mental illness involved with that, absolutely. I mean, I've worked in places full of mental patients. And then, of course, I've been out on the street, and that's full of mental patients now, too. And I've been to other churches, and that's full of mental patients. I mean, the whole world is full of mental patients. We did a whole show on that, showing how modern medicine decides whether you're mentally disturbed or not. They use a particular diagnostic manual, and that diagnostic manual is revised on a regular basis. And we were showing some of the revisions. And we didn't invent this. I mean, it was one of the previous doctors who was actually in charge of setting, you know, the standards for this diagnostic manual, came out and said, if they continue to go the way they're going, because the manual is now written not by practicing physicians, but by these scholastic physicians, who are not actually dealing with the patients, but they're dealing with bureaucracy, and, you know, they got all the diplomas. They have a degree of knowledge, you know. That's what a diploma is, a degree of knowledge. A certificate that this person knows something. But anyway, if they continue, he says that tens, hundreds of thousands of more Americans will be considered mentally ill than were last week. That's right. You can become mentally ill because somebody makes out a manual that now says what you think is mental illness. If you're mentally ill, they can snatch you off the street, put you in a hospital, and drug you with and cause chemical lobotomies where you never recover. They can put you in an insane state because the way you think is not acceptable, according to the manual. Now, we talk about this, too, on our website. We show you people who are functioning people, doing okay, took some medicine because he was having trouble sleeping, and the medicine created anxiety, which is actually one of the listed side effects, and depression, one of the listed side effects for this medicine to help him sleep. So their solution was to give him more of the medicine, which created more of the side effects, which they eventually said, well, now he's mentally ill, while he's still on the medicine, showing the evidence of the side effects. So they give him more drugs until they lobotomize him. And this is an adult, but his family can't even go and visit him. He's locked away forever. And you think, well, why would they do this? Because they get money for the state. Every room they have full, they get more money from the state. You have financed the beast that is murdering your children, killing their minds. And you don't see that because they don't want to show you that. Just like they don't want to tell you about the preacher who's molesting children and all this stuff. They don't want to talk about that. It pops up and you see it. Oh, but that's that church. The fact is, you're all being molested by your preachers if their preachers are not preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ, which is that you have to love your neighbor and not covet his goods. So anyway, evil, according to St. Thomas in these notes, is a privation or the absence of some good which belongs properly to the nature of the creature. Now, of course, now they call him St. Thomas. They're not talking about the apostle. They're talking about Aquinas. Edmund Burke says, or at least he wrote back in 1770, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. How do you get good men to do nothing? You drug them. And then they will do nothing. They will be content in their drug. What is the opiate of the people? Religion. Not real religion. Not pure religion. Pure religion is not the opiate of the people. But what you've come to believe is religion. And we've done whole shows on this. You can go back and look at them. We've got articles on it. Show you that 200 years ago, religion was defined as fulfillment of your duty to God and your fellow man. That was religion. The word threskia, it was what you did, not what you thought. You ask Jesus, not what you say, but what you do. He who does the will of my Father is my brother. That's what he's saying. So religion was about doing. But now you have a religion that says, oh, there's nothing you have to do. It's just about what you think. It's when religion, and religion has gone back and forth in this definition. When religion becomes what you think about God, now you have a religion that will kill other religions because they think something different. Or they'll ostracize them, or they'll punish them, or they'll beat them, or they'll do something to them because they think religion is something different than what you think religion is. The fact is, religion is about how you take care of the needy of society and how you do it righteously, because God said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So you have to do it with charity, and charity alone, or it isn't righteous. If you do it with force, like John the Baptist said you weren't to do, like Jesus said you weren't to do, like Paul said you weren't to do, like Peter said you weren't to do, like you do today, if you take care of the needy by force, you're Antichrist. You're Satan. You're the adversary of Christ. If you don't take care of the needy at all, well, you're also Antichrist. Because why? You didn't do anything. You're the slothful. You should be under tribute. You're not taking care of the needy of society, and I mean taking care of them in a way that makes them stronger. You know, teaching them to fish, not just giving them free fish. You know, if you want to have a food kitchen, everybody who's lining up for the food, if they got a hand, the hand should be a part of the work. If they got a foot, they should use that foot as part of the work. If they have eyes, their eyes should be a part of that work. If they're totally incapacitated, well, okay, feed them. But they could pray. So they could still be part of the work. Maybe they're completely in a coma. Would you like to see some people in a coma raised from the dead? Repent and start seeking the kingdom of God. You know, the people who think that, there are no Satans, there are no demons and everything, that Jesus was just curing mental illness. How many mentally ill people have they cured lately? Because I think there are demons. I don't believe in demons. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Christ. I believe in God. So, have I cured any mental patients lately? Well, actually, you would be surprised how many people, even the people that I deal with, they don't know all the people I deal with, because I don't tell you all the people I deal with. That's for the campfire talk, and I don't even have time to tell you all the people I deal with. If I was spending all my time telling you about that, I couldn't be dealing with all those people. Because that takes up all my time. Most religions were pulled into modern enlightenment with their fingernails dug into the past. Those are the words of Michael Shermer. Michael Brandt Shermer. He's an American science writer, historian of science, founder of the Skeptic Society. And he's the editor-in-chief of the magazine Skeptic, which is largely devoted to investigating pseudoscientific and supernatural claims. Well, he should go study quantum physics and string theory. Because quantum physics believes that there are multiple realms side by side that could have inhabitants in them, existing side by side with our own, the realm, in this physical realm in which we live in, that we cannot see, and they may not be able to see us, except occasionally when the veil between us thins. That's what quantum physics, that's the conclusion that quantum physicists, some of whom are atheists, have come up with. They actually believe, if you go to the membrane theory, and some of these guys are atheists, they don't believe in God, they don't read the Bible, they believe that the universe was composed of a single membrane where everything was connected. This is what quantum believes. Everything is connected. And a portion of that membrane separated itself off and now is in conflict with the other. And where they overlap, because they're not identical membranes, the original membrane had a certain characteristic. And the one that broke off has a little bit different characteristic. And so they actually, when they collide, they overlap. Now this is their string membrane theory. And we've got whole audios on. And where those conflict, you get this energy popping from one realm to the other. Now, let me ask you this. I mean, this sounds like heaven and, a third of the angels break off and they go in their own dominion. And that's what it sounds like to me. And this is their theory of the membrane theory. It sounds like what the Bible was talking about. But, you know, Mr. Shermer, he's not going to like this conclusion that I think they're talking about heaven and hell. Two different dimensions, which may exist side by side with entities in them. I mean, this is what the things that they come up with saying. I'm not making this up. And that energy pops from one to the other. So everybody in the one has this spirit of consuming because they're missing something. What's evil? Evil is missing something that should be a part of creation. And then you have this other realm that is not missing anything. We call that heaven. And we're caught in a realm in between, which is this physical realm. We're stretched between these two realms, which gives us what we call our physical existence. Everything is spirit. But it gives us a physical existence. Our physical bodies is mostly space. They say you're mostly water. No, you're mostly space. Very little substance. You are composed of billions of little force fields we call atoms that have an identity based on the frequency at which they vibrate. And they're interacting in what we call the physical world. But the real reality is the spiritual world. This is why I'm saying you can't make the choice in your head. You make the choice in the spirit. If you deny the spiritual realm, you close your eyes and are trying to drive to the kingdom with your eyes shut. don't do that. Bad idea. Okay. So how do we draw near the realm that does not devour us, does not take a bite out of us? One thing we have to do is stop taking a bite out of one another. Because if we take a bite out of one another, we will be drawn near the realm of evil that will devour us. If we put on the character of Christ, if we sacrifice charity, forgiveness, all these things that Christ talked about, and all charity needs, it's your blood sacrifice. When you give up something that you sweated and toiled to get, that's a blood sacrifice. When you give it up entirely, when you cast your bread upon the waters, when you burn that offering up to you but give it to another to distribute as wisely and as well as you can, you're making the sacrifice of Christ. You have gathered together for the purposes of Christ, which is to serve others, to set them free, to give life, not to take it life. Now, guess what? In the quantum realm, in the spiritual realm, you're drawn near God. You cannot do that well till you see the truth about yourself. That's why you have to go down and get baptized in this charity of John the Baptist, where if you have two coats and your neighbor has one, you share. You do the same in meats. When you start getting baptized in the ways of John the Baptist, which are the ways of Christ, something starts to happen. When you confess your iniquities, you say, oh, I need to give more. Something starts to happen. But Bill Maurer has this, has another opinion. And we got to it. I'm down here at the very beginning of my notes on this entire article. And we're going to go through this. But we're not going to be able to do it all in this show. I have to do it next time on Keys to the Kingdom. Until then, peace on your house. And God be with you. The article, if you want to look for it, is The Moral Arc. Next time on Keys of the Kingdom. Till then, peace on your house, and may God be with you.